Welcome to Crossroads. I'm Andy Ryder, and I'm so glad that you've joined us this year for Easter. This is the biggest celebration of the year for those of us who follow Jesus. We celebrate because we have personally witnessed how his resurrection on this day, 2,000 years ago, still changes our lives today. Through Jesus, we've found freedom, we've conquered addictions, we've overcome sickness, we've not let our past mistakes define us. We've discovered a life of adventure and joy that we didn't know was possible, and for that, we celebrate today. Now, if you're here with us for the first time, we hope that you get a glimpse of how this true story could change your life too. We all have something in our lives that is dead. For some of us, it might be our faith or our marriage, our health, or even our dreams. And no matter what it is, we all have something that needs to be brought back to life. In other words, we need resurrection. The truth is that Jesus has been raised up, and it is his resurrection that changes us from dead in our sins to raised with him in new life. Now, we're about to step into the biblical story when just before dawn, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb. For some context, she had been suffering from demons for many years, and Jesus had met her and healed her, and she became one of his closest followers. Try to imagine what it would feel like to be her. If you've been rescued from circumstances that were literally killing you. And now, for many of us, we don't need to imagine that we are living or have lived it. But imagine you had watched your promised Savior, the one who you thought that you could put all of your hope into, who would save you, the one you believed would set you free, be nailed to a cross 3 days ago. Wouldn't you come to his tomb to mourn? That is where we find ourselves today. The Bible has four accounts of Easter morning in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And to set the scene, I'm going to read a combination of the accounts found in Matthew and in John. First from Matthew. Now after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to see the tomb, and behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone. And now from John. Mary stood weeping outside the tomb, and as she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and one at the feet. And they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They've taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they've laid him." Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing, but she didn't know that it was Jesus. And Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you've laid him and I will take him away." And Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." Today, you might be truly believing that God loves you and brings dead things back to life, or you might be feeling more like Mary, your faith dead, not believing that resurrection is possible for you. Wherever you find yourself, it is our prayer that just like Mary, you'll leave here today able to say, "I have seen the Lord."
Calm the trembling sea.
Were you there when crowds filled the street to praise him? All hail the king, palms waving, just like the prophecies.
Were you there when he passed the wine?
Betrayed, we scatter. He knew it would happen this way.
Were you there when lamb to the slaughter broke his body? Blood flowed like water, even when the nails pierced his hands and feet.
I took the dead parts of you and my friend.
Were you there?
I met a man I didn't know, and he told is heavy, but chains break at the weight of your glory. I needed shelter, I was an orphan, but you called me a citizen of heaven. When I was broken, you were my friend. Thank you, Lord. Your love is the air that I'm breathing. I have a future, my eyes are open, 'cause when you call my name, I'm ready. Yeah, out of the darkness into your glorious day. You saved my life, you call my name, and I ran out of that grave. Yeah, out of the darkness into your glorious day. Yeah, you pick me up, you pick me up, you turn me around, you place my feet on solid ground. I thank you myself, I thank you, Savior, because you heal my heart, you change my name, forever free. I'm not the same. I thank you myself, I thank you for.
Great to see everybody today. Why don't you give an Easter greeting to somebody around you? Shake a hand and have a seat. Well, just fantastic to have everybody with us today at all of our sites and online. Easter is a really, really big, big deal. It's the greatest thing I think has ever happened in human history. A person literally, physically, and historically came back from the dead. This isn't just something that's a bedrock of the Christian faith. This is something that can be a bedrock to your life, to understand that whatever is dead inside of you right now, whatever isn't well right now, there is a power that is available to you to bring you to life, to kill the things that need to be killed in your life, and to bring to life the things that you think are dead in this life. To look at this Easter talk, we thought, you know, it'd be really great to go to a great place where something else massively rises every day. It's called the sun. And we thought, let's go to the beach and let's understand Easter sunrise and how the sun is related to Easter and the power that I'm hoping that we all get today. I hope you sense that. Happy Easter. Boy, it always seems like such an odd greeting to me. Happy Easter. Christmas owns the word Merry, Merry Christmas. Easter gets happy, like what? Happy is me having a vanilla milkshake on a hot summer day. But Easter is way more than that. Easter is the greatest celebration in the world because it defines the greatest thing that ever happened in the history of the world. Jesus literally, physically, historically rose from the dead. It is the most life-giving, joy-affirming, cataclysmically powerful thing that's ever happened in the world and actually could transform your life and has transformed mine and millions of others over the last 2,000 years. There may be no better place to celebrate Easter than here in Puerto Rico, where we get to be part of resurrecting lives both spiritually and practically through working with our local partner, and to watch the sunrise just like the women who went to the tomb did on the very first Easter morning. In 1732, the first sunrise service took place. We are in the perfect place here in Puerto Rico on the beach as the sun is rising, and we're doing what the Moravians did in Europe in 1732. In 1773, it was the first sunrise service recorded in American history in Winston-Salem. And the idea behind it is that all of us, have dark nights of the soul. A lot of us right now may be stumbling in the dark, trying to find our way, bumping into things, not having a lot of clarity, but every day the sun rises. Every day the sun comes up. And every year we have another ability to look at the awe-inspiring act of Jesus coming back from the dead and what that means to our life. Let's read about it, just like the early Christians did in John chapter 20. Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early while it was still dark and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one who Jesus loved, and said to them, "They've taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." So Peter went out with the other disciples, and they were going toward the tomb. Both of them were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. I love this passage because it tells a lot. Notice the details that are in here. Details like the one disciple got the tomb before Peter. The one disciple was faster than Peter. Who's that one disciple? That one disciple was John, who wrote the book of John. He just likes making it clear for the record that he runs faster than Peter. What does this have to do with the Easter story? Nothing, absolutely nothing at all. This is not poetry. This is not prose that just sounds nice. This is somebody recording history, what historically happened, which includes details that really aren't central to the story, like this. The other thing that's really interesting to see is when Mary Magdalene comes upon the tomb where Jesus is, it is dark. Just like the dark night of many of our souls, just like the way many of us are stumbling right now. Jesus is dead. Easter starts with rigor mortis. We have to embrace the death is real. And right now I'm not talking about physical death, I'm talking about spiritual death. In the book of Romans chapter 6, verse 23, it says that the wages of sin is death. I've never known anybody who could deny that they don't make mistakes. We just don't like to call them sins, but that's what they are. All of us do it. All of us do it very, very frequently, more frequently than we want to. And the payment for that is death. In the book of Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 and following, it says this, "And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience." That says that we are dead right now. Not that we're struggling with sin, not that we're trying to work things out. No, we're dead. We are in rigor mortis, just as Jesus was physically dead when he came off the cross. So spiritually, we are dead. We are stiff in terms of being able to please God and connect with God. From the newest born infant to all of us who may be senior citizens, we are spiritually hardened, and we see signs of this, signs of our spiritual death. And I want us to see this because a lot of us are fixated on death, but we're fixated on the type of death that happens when our heart stops. That's understandable. I want to live a long life. No problem with that. The problem is, I'm not going to live forever. None of us are going to live forever. In fact, there are a lot of us who are here today who aren't going to be with us next year. And you may only be 25. You may be 70, whatever it is. Death is real. The death rate hovers right around 100%. And we don't like talking about that, but it's real. And Easter has us focus in on the life-affirming, hope-inducing message that no matter whether we die or not, or if we are spiritually dead right now or not, Easter is coming. A new dawn is arising. Life is coming. One of the ways that my spiritual death has manifested itself is being really sensitive to criticism and rejection. I just take it harder than the average person does. You might be surprised that that's the way it is, because I come off as self-confident and full of bluster. I do that, I have done that historically, actually, to compensate for that, because if I can put off a strong front, maybe you won't mess with me emotionally, because I can get messed with pretty easily. It has been a massive, massive problem in my life. It's crippled me at times. And the good news is, because of Jesus' resurrection, him coming to life, there's a power there that I've tapped into where that doesn't cripple me anymore. I'm actually a new person in that area. And when I do get criticized, I can feel the little pricks, the little jabs, but then I go back to, oh, wait a minute, no, this doesn't define me because I have a new life. Just as Jesus literally, physically, and historically conquered his physical rigor mortis, my spiritual and emotional rigor mortis does not control me. I conquer that too. When you get this, when you understand it, it turns life 100% around. No matter who you are right now, no matter what you struggle with, a resurrection is available to you that brings the dawn of a new life. Well, Mary and the other women came up to the grave of Jesus. There's the presence of grave clothes that are there. Everybody who was buried in the ancient times had grave cloths. It was a way to be basically embalmed, wrap you in cloths, put spices on top of you. This is a physical representation for the way all of us are. We're all walking dead men and women. We have grave clothes on, whether we know it or not. We have the stench of spiritual death that courses on us as a rite of birth. It just is who we are as humans, and we all have it, or we all had it. But Easter isn't about fixating on that. That was what Good Friday was about. Easter is about recognizing that the clothes can come off. Just as they came off Jesus, they can come off of us. This is the unbelievable story of Jesus and of Christianity. It's unlike every other spirituality and religion out there that tells you, you can do it. You can work on it. You can get a better version of you. You can get the brass ring. You can evolve. You can reincarnate and keep working your spiritual path until you do it. And the whole point is you. You. It's all about you, and you do it, and your energy. But Easter is about Jesus. It's about him doing it. It's about his energy. It's about his energy being replicated inside of you if you receive him. C.S. Lewis didn't believe in God. Guy from England decades and decades ago. And over in Oxford, he came to know Christ, and he wrote some profound things about it that still affect us today. Here's what C.S. Lewis says. The New Testament writers speak as if Christ's achievement in rising from the dead was the first event of its kind in the whole history of the universe. He is the first fruits, the pioneer of life. He has forced open a door that has been locked since the death of the first man. He has met, fought, and beaten the king of death. Everything is different because he has done so. This is the beginning of the new creation. A new chapter in cosmic history has opened. As he said, Jesus opened a door that had never been opened before. Somebody came back from the dead. And this door that's opened is something that you and I can walk through to where right now we can have life. We can replicate what he did. Holy Spirit power, the same spirit that raised him, can give life to our mortal bodies. This is so unbelievable that resurrection power isn't something that I remember way back when. It's something I encounter and propels me forward right now. In the Bible, Jesus' resurrection is known as the first fruits. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it says this, "But each in his own order, Christ the first fruits, then at his coming, those who belong to Christ." Jesus is the first fruits. For farmers in ancient times or today, the first fruits are the first fruit you pick, expecting there's going to be more fruit. The resurrection is about recognizing that Jesus was the first person to be brought back from the dead, but more are coming. That includes you, Americans or people around the world, they bury their dead, put them under the ground. The reason why Christians have done that for a long time is we believe that this mortal body of mine that's dead, now physically dead, just like I was spiritually dead, I got physically dead, it's going to get resurrected too. It's going to be brought back to life. This is why some people don't want to have cremation. They want to have their body there so it can be resurrected. That's fine if that's your conviction. I don't think God will have any problem resurrecting ashes that are sprinkled all over the ocean. He can do that. He's no problem with that. People get blown up in car crashes and all that stuff. All I'm saying is, it's coming, it's coming, it's coming, it's coming. And I don't mean it's just coming when you die at the end culmination of all things. I mean right now it's coming. I mean right now in your death, in your spiritual grave claws, in my rejection, which is a grave cloth that I have, that I've taken off, but somehow it keeps sticking back to me. And I have to keep, oh no, 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 this doesn't define me. And by resurrection power, I'm able to take this off. This is the truth and the reality of what the resurrection does for millions and millions and millions of people. It is the beginning of the end of all things. I've seen people take off their grave claws. If it wasn't rejection, it might have been fear written on their grave claws. Fear, like a good friend of mine would vacation with him and we would sightsee. And when we would sightsee, you're oftentimes kind of at the top of tall buildings looking out, or at the top of structures seeing what's there. And he would never go to the top, or he would step way back. And I finally, at the end of vacation, I said, what's going on here? And he described to me how he has a fear of heights. And even affects his business as a real estate developer, because he couldn't go to the top of projects to cast a vision for potential investors or for leasers. And I said, you know, this is a spiritual issue. And he didn't know what I was talking about. I said, yeah, the Bible says the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. We are spiritually dead, but God has come to give us life. You can get over this. You can take this grave cloth off. Or walk him through a process. I prayed for him and boom, boom. He sends me pictures all the time when he's in high places saying, still working, still working. He's been resurrected. This isn't just pie in the sky when you die. This is right now in your real life, hope-filled, awe-inspiring change can come to people like you and I. I know people who have had addictions that have gone through 12-step programs and they got resurrected. They dropped off their addiction that was written on their clothes. Some of them, I know, have immediately had a healing after being prayed for. Either way, it's a resurrection. I know people who have been materialistic. They would, at best, they would split a check if you went out for lunch. Never pick it up, never offer any generosity. They were enslaved to materialism and savings and having things. They were dead. It was a sign of their death, wrapped in it. And Christ came into their life and they got resurrected and they become generous. See, this whole thing is about the roots of Christianity, the roots of the expectations of what you think God's going to do in your life. That's the last thing I want to say today. Easter is radical. Radical does not mean extreme. The original Latin means roots. It's the roots. Easter is the root of your life. It can be the root of your life, the root of your power, the root of your love, the root of your strength, the root of your hope, the root of your joy. Because when you believe that Jesus came back from the dead and that death is coming to life in you, that power, as the Bible says, the same Spirit who raised him from the dead gives life to your mortal bodies. When you see this, oh my goodness, it goes to the roots of who you are and enables you to get out of the grave cloths. This is what John chapter 20, verse 5 says. And stooping to look in, he saw the linen cloths lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen cloths lying there, and the face cloth which had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed, for as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. That passage says the grave claws were lying there. They were off Jesus because he was alive. I tell you, this is the first time it happens. It's not the last time, because it happens again. It happens today. The grave claws can come off of you. You can actually be alive and free and have peace and have power that passes all understanding, because the Bible says the same Spirit that gave life to his body gives life to ours. Oh my gosh. Oh my. When you understand there's a new beginning, a new start that isn't dependent on your mind, on your power, on your will, it just is, it changes everything. That's why we celebrate Easter. We don't remember Easter like it happened a long time ago. We celebrate it because it means right now, today, all-encompassing power and hope can engulf you and take you to a new place. It's happened to me. It's happened to millions and millions of other people. And we're going to take a look at a couple people right now and their story of taking off the grave claws. That is a happy Easter.
So my buddy Alan, who used to share many meals with, asked me to come out to dinner one night. And he said, it's for a fundraiser for this trip that I'm going on. And we get to this place and he's introduced me to all these people that he goes to church with. And like the sincerity and the niceness in them was kind of crazy to me to begin with. Kind of threw me off a little bit. And they're telling me about this trip, this experience they're about to have. And right away I was on board. I was like, tell me more. At that time, my relationship with God was non-existent. I was too cool for God, you know? I didn't pray, I didn't think about it in any sort of light. My life was pretty much a party.
Pues yo tenía 17 años. Y 4 meses antes que pasara el huracán María, pues la casa se arregló, el techo completo, las paredes también se arreglaron. Y pasó María y realmente todo lo que se puso nuevo, no quedó nada. Y yo tuve que hacerme, dice, el fuerte. Cuando vi a mi madre llorando, todo el mundo llorando, y así no me... Yo también quería llorar, pero tenía que ser fuerte en ese momento porque estaba ella, ¿entiendes? Y también pensé en mi hermano que estaba desaparecido.
So the first day we pulled up to the community, it's pretty devastating. You're going down what looks like roads. You're passing what look like houses, but they're covered in trees. There's debris everywhere. When I first met Francisco and Margarita, you could tell that they were just broken. They didn't seem like they had hope at all. They seemed completely broken.
Realmente, yo pensé muchas veces quitarme la vida. Pensé muchas veces quitarme la vida porque la carga era fuerte. Me trepé una vez en una casa de 2 pisos. Para coger alrededor, a ver si un pie se me resbalaba y me caía para fallecer. Una vez intenté ahorcarme, no pude hacerlo tampoco. Pensando en mi hermano, también pensando en mi madre, me dio estrés, depresión, me puse flaco, el pelo se me estaba cayendo. También que el llanto, también quería llorar y no sabía cómo hacerlo tampoco. Que había puesto una piedra en mi corazón.
There's a lot of people from our group that would sit and pray with them, just help build them up a little bit. Francisco, he would never come around in the first part of the trip, and you'd see him, it'd just be out of the corner of your eye. And like I said, he was like super timid. But I think after he saw the progress that was happening on his house, he got a little bit more excited, got a little bit more trusting, and started doing some of the work with us.
De verdad, con todo. Me sentía súper bien, ellos pintando, ellos empañetando, rompiendo. Yo miraba y decía, esto es de Dios. Pues en verdad me sentía bien, como que la piedra que yo tenía se me estaba rompiendo. El corazón que lo tenía duro se me estaba rompiendo, como que me sentía más. Y en verdad yo me estoy sintiendo súper bien. Quiero dar el paso completamente hacia Dios, entregarme la vida completa. Y Dios, que Dios tome el control de mi vida. Eso es lo más que yo quiero. Todo a sus planes. Y yo sé que él me va a moldear poco a poco, pero a su perfección. Después yo gracias a Dios, esto es lo que yo dejo atrás, pues dejo ser infiel, salir de rumba, la pornografía, no mentir.
I came down with the mentality that I was going to come help and I was going to come make a change and make a difference, and I was the one being changed as the whole process was happening. It was absolutely life-changing, but I still didn't have God in my life. I was still hiding, you know, the biggest problem in my life. I was still hiding my addiction. The fact that I was probably sober one day out of the last 2 years of my life. I was just in a spot one day where I was just doing the same thing that I always did. I was hanging out with friends, we were drinking, we were having a great time. So I get out of the car, and instead of getting out on to the sidewalk and walking into the bar, I got out on the passenger side into traffic and just fell on my knees in the middle of traffic. Luckily, I was able to just bring myself to my feet and jump back in the car. I had enough wits about me to do at least do that. That's when it just hit me. I literally just my face in my hands and just started crying. And in that moment, I reached out to God and I just said, I don't want this life anymore. I don't want this for myself. And I had this weird sense of comfort just come right over me. I knew in that moment God was with me. My prayer was answered instantly. When I asked for my life to change, when I asked to take away the want to drink, and it just happened instantaneously. Literally from that point, I'd never want to drink since. I've been sober for about a little over 4 years now, going to church, participating in mission trips and kids club and, you know, anything I can get my hands on. Like I said, I'm all in now.
Jesus left us a representation of resurrection that every follower and receiver of his was to do. It's called baptism. Baptism is when somebody who's come to know Christ, they go into the watery grave, drowning their dead self, drowning their baggage, burying all that they were. And as they come back to life, they come out of the watery grave, signifying a new resurrected life of power. Every time somebody gets baptized, it's a sign of the resurrected life that's giving hope, joy, peace, and strength. And so today our friend Sean is taking a step of obedience, and he's mirroring that resurrection by getting baptized today, a thing that every follower of Christ does because we want that power in us and we want to honor the words of Jesus. Sean,
thank you, Lord and Savior.
Jesus Christ.
Sean, we baptize you now in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Let him there. Bring him up.
Come on.
Woo, yes. Yes.
If you're with us in our online community, I want to tell you, you're with us. We don't believe that you've watched or you've been outside it. You're one of us, you're with us, and we want to have a moment with you and for you. Inside of our buildings, people have these grave cloths and they're going to have an experience, and you're going to have the experience too. We got something special for you. All you have to do is text Easter to 301-301, Easter to 301-301. Thanks for being a part of us today.
Easter is about recognizing that we can leave our grave cloths in the tomb. Like Brian said, we want you to have a moment where you can symbolically leave these old identities and mistakes behind and step into resurrection power today. So here's what I want you to do. Think about that part of your life that you want to leave in the tomb. It might be a painful part of your history or your experience. It might be a lie that you're tempted to believe about yourself. Could be something that you think disqualifies you from God's love, whatever it is. We want you to know that Jesus died so that you can experience new life, including that thing that you're thinking of right now. So what word embodies or represents that moment? Maybe it's shame. Maybe it's fear, concern about the future. Maybe It's addiction. Maybe it's that habit you haven't been able to break for yourself. Maybe it's rejection. Once you have that word, whatever it is for you, I want you to pull out your phone and just text Easter to 301-301. In response, you'll be given a prompt with your chance to enter that one word. And then myself and one of our team members will specifically receive that word and pray for you specifically and individually, and then write that down on a piece of cloth and lay it down for you. Resurrection power is available to all of us here and now, no matter where we are. And a great next step to lean into that resurrection power is baptism. Now, I don't know what you think about baptism. Maybe it feels a little odd, or maybe it's something you've always wanted to do. Baptism is when someone who comes to know Christ goes into that watery grave, drowning to their dead self, drowning their baggage, bearing all that they were. And as they come back up to life, they come out of that watery grave, signifying a new resurrected life of power. Every time somebody gets baptized, it's a sign of the resurrected life that's giving hope, joy, peace, and strength. Now, if something today resonated with you and you're interested in baptism, I would love to help you take that next step on your journey. God's redemption story is for you anywhere you live. Seriously, we will come to you to help make this happen anywhere. If you're interested in getting baptized for yourself, you can head to crossroads.net/baptism or email me directly at andy.writer@crossroads.net. That is my real email address, not a bot. This is one of my absolute favorite things to do ever. And man, as you'll see during the service and as we worship, you're gonna see people making this decision to be baptized and declaring their commitment to Jesus. This is a time of celebration, and it's not just a time for you to watch, it's a time for you to enter into, to participate, to celebrate the good things that God has done in your life, and maybe make the decision to be baptized yourself. Regardless, we're gonna see people celebrating the hope that they have in Jesus. Now, let's use these songs and this time to celebrate, praise, and thank God for the good news of Easter and how it's still changing lives today.
Do you see what I see? Do you see what I see? Oh, I see lightning, I hear thunder. Something stirring 6 feet under. Dead things coming back to life again. I believe there's about to be another resurrection.
splorida, tua moribonda, rasco la sombra se mi sei, e ti sta hecho el fin escrito, mi esperanza está.
Jesus, yours is the silent, surely it was through. Since when has impossible ever stopped you? Well, Friday's disappointment, well, Sunday's empty tomb. Since when has impossible ever stopped you? This is the sound of tribals rattling. This is the praise, make a dead man walk again. Ooh, open the grave, I'm coming out. I'm gonna live again. Yeah. This is the sound of tribals rattling.
It's still not too late. If you feel God calling, you better answer.
Pentecostal fire, oh, it's turning something new, yeah, yeah. You're not gonna run out of miracles anytime soon.
Again, I want to wish you a very, very happy Easter, and I hope it came through loud and clear today that God's love for you allows you to leave things in the tomb, to walk forward in new life. And if you haven't yet, make sure that you text Easter to 301-301 so that you can leave something in the tomb and walk forward refreshed and clean and without that baggage and identity. And if you haven't been baptized yet and understand that Jesus came to bring you new life and is your hope and your one Savior, man, we'd love to help you get baptized. We will actually come to you to make it happen. We go all over the place because we know that this is such an important moment. We want to celebrate with you. If you go to crossroads.net/anywhere, you can participate in both of those things. Now, Crossroads is a movement of people meeting physically and digitally all over the globe, and you're welcome here no matter what you believe about God. One thing that I want to share with you that I'm really excited about, we simply call Horse Weekend. It is where we're bringing back our friend Todd Pierce, who's going to train a wild horse on stage in our building in under an hour. And I promise you, it will be one of the most memorable church experiences of your life and one of the most beautiful and compelling tellings of God's love for you that you'll ever see. We're gonna stream every service online because each one is unique and beautiful in its own right, and you do not wanna miss it. And we'd love to see you back here next week as Chuck Mingo starts off our series in the book of Acts, talking about how you and I can live a life of power.